Take it easy and solve the school lunch problem with Spam. S-P-A-M.
こんにちは、タイガー・クローラジオ。You are listening now, Pak J.
You are listening to Tiger Claw Radio. Number one in vintage computer and video game entertainment. And now your host, Critical Failure.
Surges into the microphone.
What's going on, everybody? You're listening to Tiger Claw Radio. I'm your host, Critical Failure. This is episode... Oh, gosh. Are we really up to 190? Stand by while I confirm that number. It is 190 episodes of Tiger Claw Radio. Okay, guys. This one is a special episode for me because the Steam Summer Sales, which are a huge deal for me as a PC core gamer, they launched this week. As a matter of fact, the way I do this is I record bits of Tiger Claw Radio throughout the week. So at the beginning of the show, they have not yet launched. Then, about halfway through, they drop, and then we can end with the aftermath and the fail bag. Okay, so the past couple of weeks, we've been kind of going through the career of Starship Amazing, what I have available. I still have yet to plug in my external hard drive and dig out their old music that they tried to make disappear. We've had a couple of tracks off of Scoops the Robot last week. This week we're going to play a couple from let's see if I can go through this name. An Apocalypse in Binary, The Memoirs of Gearheart Dekron. Let's just call it the album that came out at the same time as Scoops that was not quite as good. This track is called The Bleak Glory, The Grand Symphony. I hear this one used in their in Derek's videos several times. You are listening to Tiger Claw Radio, episode 190. Okay, before I kick it over to the VanCast, I want to acknowledge that I was going through the Gearhart album. It's better than I remember it being. I remember Scoops was objectively the best album when they came out in 2010. Scoops had, like, this was all the music I was interested in. The mood was light. It was fun. It didn't take itself too seriously. And then over here we had Super Serious Business, Gearhart. I just went through went through all the tracks after not hearing them for a long time. This is kind of more akin to what I listen to now. I don't know. I'm not saying it's better than Scoops. I'm just saying there's some tracks on here that I think I wasn't ready for 7 years ago that now I'm digging. That's Starship Amazing. All of their albums from Scoops the Robot on are still available on starshipamazing.com at name your own price. They're available under the Creative Commons license, which is why I'm comfortable playing them here. All right, guys, let's go to the VanCast. We're going to fast forward to the day. I can't remember. I was going to say the day before the summer sale. I think this was the day the summer sales dropped, but I was coming home from work, so I hadn't had a chance to dig in yet. You guys are listening to Tiger Claw Radio.
All right, boys and girls. It's Thursday morning. It's the VanCast. I'm getting ready to pull out of the driveway here and start my journey into video games discussion. Oh, that was bad. Ooh, that was bad. it's early. Bright and early, boys and girls. It was 6:03, and all the shades were shut, the lights were off, and I was standing over the sink eating a reheated bratwurst. And I was going over it, what was happening in my head, and I couldn't decide if that was a depressing moment or not. Because it was delicious food. I love a good brat, but I was eating one reheated in the microwave over the sink with all the lights off. I'll let you decide, but it's Thursday, and what happens on Thursday, the 22nd? Of June. Today, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, the Steam Summer Sales roll right out. And man, I am excited. This is going to be the last recording before the Steam Summer Sales. Now, prior to the Steam Summer Sales, there's always a period of time where I'm like, don't buy it. Don't spend your money now. Wait for them sales. They're coming. And a couple of those things I saw that I had to exercise some restraint is Death by Daylight. That went down for $11.99. And that being on sale seemed to me like the perfect answer to being interested in the Jason game and that being too much money and unfinished and not having enough game modes and the devs being not very cool. It seems like that was the perfect solution. It took a lot of restraint not to pull the trigger on that one. In fact, when the sale comes and goes, I might just find out that I probably would have been better off pulling the trigger on that one. But time will tell. That's one. Another one was Desktop Dungeons. Now, this is a favorite game of my older brother. We're talking about a roguelike kind of game, punishing difficulty, just like the original Rogue back in the MS-DOS days. That went down to $9.99. I don't see that game that cheap. I mean, it goes on sale just like any other game. But it's usually $25, which seems really steep to me. And then it drops to a $10 price point. I suspect there's certain games, I've talked about this with Swingle, where they do a thing where they put the regular price way overpriced, and then when it goes on sale, that's the value that it really is. We see this with a lot of, like, very small indie puzzle games that regularly sell for $10 and then they drop down to 99 cents during a sale. I think that's the mentality behind that. I look at this game, it's kind of hard for me to say that because it's one of those where I'm told it's really good, but I look in the screenshots and I just don't see it. So we'll see. There's many games like that though. So the Steam Summer Sales are coming. I also saw footage for, well, I say saw footage, that's not genuine. I watched a Let's Play of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and that game looks really good to me. It really does. Like DayZ, but it has a point to it. 100 will enter, one will leave. Oh, there's deer in the road. Hang on. All right, we made it. We made it. Those deer didn't get me. So I watched this Let's Play of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, and it looks dope. I enjoy that it has a point to it, as opposed to DayZ, where it's just like, if you don't die, then I guess you're winning for now. The problem is, given that it is a multiplayer deathmatch of 100-1, it seems logical to me that you could not quit in the middle of a match, making it unfeasible, you know, as a pastime for me, because I have to take my gaming in small bursts these days on a lot of occasions. Small little bursts. Oh boy, is that what I think it is? Excuse me. But the Let's Plays I watched were really good. Now, they were from the king of the Let's Plays. I watched the PewDiePie's videos, and here's what concerns me about that. We've seen that big YouTubers in general, you know, favorable Let's Plays are just available to the highest bidder. And although I think old Felix has been tired of kind of being that way. I look back, he once did a Let's Play for a game called Dead Out. This is when I first started watching PewDiePie. This is like, I kind of checked out the channel, you know, saw what he was doing. At that time, he was doing a Let's Play for the Outlast. Oh, shit, I'm going the wrong way. I'm going the wrong way to work. Okay. All right, we're gonna salvage this. Hang on. Salvaging, going the wrong way, because I caught it before I went too far. Turning the car around now, because I was too busy thinking about video games. Throw that in reverse. Go right up, y'all. Put it in drive. Go back this way. Throw the turn signal on. Are you immersed? Are you fully immersed in what it's like to go the wrong way? I hope you are, because I am right now. What was I talking about? Right, okay, I'm going to sum this talking point. I'm going to sum it up so that I can move on. I watched PewDiePie do a Let's Play of the Whistleblower DLC for Outlast. It was really good. Now, I'm not the biggest PewDiePie fan in the world, but he did a really good job with that series. The game looks great. And I played Outlast. I'm not very good at it, so that made it good to watch. Immediately following that, he did a Korean horror game called Dead Out. And this was one of those instances, man, where the game looked terrible. He looked like he was hating it. At the end of every video, oh man, the game is so fun, man. You guys gotta go buy this game. It's so much fun. Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it's so fun. So I'm watching this and it's like, dude, there's no way you think this is fun. Never mind the quality of the game being good or bad. I mean, it's like, there's no way you think this is fun. So I have to look at these Let's Plays and be like, all right. Everything comes in with a grain of salt. A grain of salt the size of a truck. Nonetheless, the game does look good. It looks good. There's a lot of, there seems to be a lot of criticism in the Steam store page. You know, God bless Steam for allowing us to see that. I know Steam has been, it's been a while now. They've rolled out that change to try and hide a lot of negative reviews. But the fact is, Steam still lets us see reviews right on the main page. You know, in such a way, even in its current state, in a way that PSN and Xbox do not. Can you imagine if someone, Xbox tried to roll out a feature like that and someone typed up one of those Steam reviews that's really negative? This game is balls. This game is not good. It's about as fun as my scrotum on a sweat on a hot day. Guy would get his account banned. But Steam allows us to do that, at least to some degree. At least at face value. So that's one of the reasons I like Steam. So the as for what I'm actually planning to get on the summer sale, it's weird because that's something that changes. I think the only constant is I really want to get the new Doom game that came out a while back during the summer sale. Now, Doom is an old favorite of mine. It's one of the... I would say Doom is one of the experiences, not the first, but it's one of those early PC experiences that was like, all right, PC is where it's at. All right. Nowhere on consoles could you get episode one of a popular game for free. That's what kicked open the door to the Doom series. And it stayed with me all the way up through 2009 and 10 when we were playing Skull Tag. When Sendu ran the Doom Knights, and up until the Mega Man Deathmatch mod rolled out, and now's the next exciting chapter. So, we've got a new modern Wolfenstein, we've got a new modern Doom, where's my new modern single player Quake? That's what I want. They're giving us Quake Champions, which, I don't know. It's interesting about Quake Champions, because my whole reaction to that was super negative. I was not really super interested in Quake Champions. But when I laid it out for you guys, the feedback I got was mixed. I think Sean was on my side, how it didn't look great. And a couple of you guys were like, look, it's just kind of the way they do games now. They weren't really balanced before, and now they're taking a shot at true balance. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. Maybe true balance doesn't equate to fun. This is not something I thought about before going on the air, so feel free to blast me if you disagree, but think back to your favorite multiplayer competitive experiences. I feel like the ones that were the most fun were not really balanced. And there's exceptions to the rule. Team Fortress 2 had a certain amount of balance. And it was also super fun. I would argue that a lot of the games early on that we played in multiplayer as like an added-on feature, like Quake, meaning Quake was not built for multiplayer to begin with, but multiplayer was added after the fact, and it ended up being great. A lot of those games were really the ones that held my attention, you know? A lot of the... excuse me. A lot of the... games built on top of games usually started with a game that was made that way. Half-Life was that way. You ever played the original Half-Life Deathmatch? That wasn't balanced either. Oh boy. The original Half-Life Deathmatch went like this. There was like 10 guys with crowbars beating each other. Because everyone was dying too fast to find a weapon and hold on to it. And then there was one guy who got a hold of like a sniper rifle or a rocket launcher or something like that. And then he would last for a while and mow everyone down. But there was inevitably crowbars everywhere. That's Half-Life Deathmatch. That's fun stuff, though. You know, it was big back in those days. So the new Doom is one I'm after. I won't read too much more into the state of competitive first-person shooters. I mean, they are what they are. You find one you like, or you don't. It's whatever. I'm not deluded enough to think devs are going to listen to this podcast and take any notice of what I have to say. I can only vote with my dollars, and I like what I like what Doom is doing right now. So I'm willing to buy it at a discount. I also mentioned in recent times the new Trackmania game has my attention. Trackmania 2 Lagoon. That's $20. I want to get a copy of that. This morning I saw a trailer for a new addition to the Serious Sam franchise. It's a Serious Sam, like one of those indie kind of spin-off games. I had never heard of it before, and now I can't even think of the name of it. But it's created by the people who created Hammerwatch. And Hammerwatch is a really good game that I've played with my friends on many occasions. So it would be nice to see Serious Sam kind of follow suit. You're talking about top-down multiplayer action, four-man competitive, or four-man cooperative, 12-man competitive, level editor, mod tools, game mode building tools. It looks like it's a wide-open game built by developers that I trust, and it looks good. I wish I could remember the name of it, but it full price retails for $12, and I think it's on sale for $11 right now. That, now, given that it just came out a couple days ago, I'm not going to see that in the summer sale. So, you know, we'll see what comes out. Summer sale is usually a time for surprises for me. I just feel like I really want this to be a good one, you know? I want this summer sale to be the one where it's like, yes, this is what we've needed for the past several years. And now there's just so many games out, they have a chance to do it. You know what else I want? I want to clean up those oldies that I've wanted to have in my Steam collection for a while. Activision dropped a bunch of oldies like a couple of months back. They released Zork and all that. Zork finally made it in several incarnations to Steam. I don't have the Police Quest games in my collection. Yeah, so those are some games that I want to get. There are a couple that I don't understand why they are not on Steam. Why do we not have Wing Commander yet? This is a tree I've barked at before, but I don't know. It's just... I don't know. I can't figure it out. Another thing I usually get during the Steam summer sales, I still play Sims 3 on occasion, and I have my copy of Sims 3 on Steam. So on the summer sales, I get to take advantage of the horribly overpriced DLC dropping down to a reasonable price. All of the DLC has leveled out at $20 now under normal circumstances, which is a lot, but it's not what it used to be. I think Sims 3 Pets was like $50 for a very long time. And that's just Sims 3 Pets. I'm not talking about, you know, getting the full package with Sims 3. So that levels out to $20, and I think on the sale, all of the DLC drops down to $5. $5 a package. So what's probably going to happen is I'll pick up one or two of the Sims DLCs. Just because I do that every major sale. Give me a second here. Yeah, so that's really it. I'm really excited for this one. I tend to be more excited for the Steam summer sales than I do for the winter sales, because when the winter sale comes around, we've just come off the Thanksgiving sale, we've just come off the Halloween sale. But this one's different. This one is like, we have not had a solid, you know, major sale on Steam in quite a while. I've got a little money, not too much, but enough to get a few games. I'm really looking forward to it. And we'll see what happens, man. We really will. The GOG sale has already come and gone. I actually stopped in this morning to look over the GOG sale, the summer sale. And that ship had sailed, unfortunately. By the way, the game that I got for free, was this last week? I can't remember if this was last week or if it was on a scrubbed recording, but they gave away a copy of Fantasy General, and I looked this morning, and that was the game. Fantasy General was the one. Panzer General, but with, you know, ghosts and goblins and ogres and wizards and stuff. I like that game. Panzer General is a favorite, an old favorite of mine as well. I mean, that's one of the things that prompted me to nickname my computer the Panzer. I got Panzer General 2, and it was, I feel like, a little bit of the magic was lost. This was one of those instances where they had a game, and they wanted to make it bigger and better, and in order to do that, they decided to make it more robust, more units, more features, more things you have to keep track of. And in doing so, to me, it felt like the game got overcomplicated. That's Panzer General 2. So this being much more like the original game is something I'm kind of excited to play. I've had my GOG Galaxy client out over the past couple days. I've been playing a lot of Hidden and Dangerous. It's a game I enjoy. And that has prompted me to look closely at my GOG collection and see what else is playable. On the subject of GOG Galaxy, we did see a couple of GOG Galaxy updates. In terms of what exactly they updated, not too much to be said there. We still do not have a Linux version, and we still don't have a whole lot of extra features in terms of anything at all. But they do have new versions. They're working on stability. If you read the change notes, a lot of it is oriented towards the overlay. They're still beating their overlay into shape, much like Steam has their overlay. You can press Shift-Tab in a game, you'll get a little GOG.com overlay. Now, come to think of it, I don't know if I've activated that overlay even once. The Steam one I use quite frequently because it's hooked to a music player, and I know that it has a counter that will show me how long I've been playing. That's the big feature that I use on the Steam overlay. So that'd be interesting to check out what they have. But that's about it. That's my entire wrap-up. In another minute here, I'm going to hit it back to Panzer Studios, but I'm going to work right now. In the middle of my work day, the Steam summer sale is going to drop. So we'll see. Hopefully, in a second here, I'll know all about the summer sale and what's up. I really hope they find some way to restore Flash sales. Since the advent of returning games on Steam, Flash sales went the way of the dodo. I completely understand why they did it. It makes perfect sense. If you can return a game anytime within 2 weeks, then everything has to all be on sale at once. I mean, I kind of get that, but the flash sales were one of those things that just made Steam fun. It made Steam fun. Not even the Steam games, just Steam itself. The walled-off garden that was full of all its anti-consumer practices didn't matter because it was fun. That was one of the things that made it fun, and it's been replaced with badges that cost real money. Ugh. I like the trading cards. Alright, I'm not going to talk too badly about the trading cards, but the whole system is just silly. Just pay money for the part that used to be just fun. And that's what I know is going to happen. I know that when the summer sale drops, collect all the Steam summer sale cards! Collect the cards! And this is one of the things that makes me upset about seeing Steam users with like a 500, you know, Steam level, because that mentality and those power users like that are ultimately one of the major contributors to killing the flash sales and the things that made the Steam sales fun. They don't really have to try as hard as they used to keep us interested, or at least keep their financial backers interested. We'll say that. So that's it. I'm anxious to play some video games. I'm anxious to get some new acquisitions. We'll see. I'm going to throw it back to Panzer Studios. I will see you guys on the other side.
You guys are listening to Tiger Claw Radio, episode 190. Back comfortably in Panzer Studios, I just want to send a shout out to the wonderful people who are keeping the lights on. I do indeed have a Patreon if you want to help Tiger Claw Radio. If you like what I'm doing here, As a thank you to my patrons, I'm giving the patrons the episode a little earlier. It comes out on Monday. Monday has been release day for a very long time, but the patrons, they get it Friday if I can hack it. So my sincere thanks to these guys. This is Hemrock, James, Sendu, Tecmo Balls, Darabka, and Six Health of Fury. These guys are sponsoring the show so that everyone can enjoy it for free. So it's my sincere hope that you six people feel like you're getting your money's worth. I'm doing the very best I can to honor my side of our deal. So enjoy the rest of the show. And yeah, I guess that's all I got about that. Still working on the Patreon segment. trying to deliver that bit a little bit better, but we'll see. I'm doing the best I can. Okay, so we're gonna do one more Starship Amazing track, and then I've got a brief bit that I recorded as soon as I got home from recording that VanCast. I came home, turned on the computer, turned on my mic, and I took in the first view of the summer sail in full effect, and I recorded a little bit, and we'll go to that. So we're gonna do another Starship Amazing track. We'll do first impressions of Steam Summer Sail, then we'll do the fail bag. We're already 32 minutes in. This should be a good plus sized show. All right, so returning to the Gearheart album from Starship Amazing, let's play yeah, okay, so I went through these tracks a little bit. I wanted to play A Vile Climate. I worry that these tracks are too long to play intermittently between a podcast like that, but this is what they were doing at the time, and I kind of want to go through Starship Amazing's discography. I think that would be fun. They were a hugely influential group for me personally, and that's the way they did their music, so that's the way we're going to play it. This one, let's see, we played The Bleak Glory, The Grand Symphony. This is the very next track, should you download the album. And it's called A Vile Climate, and I'm not playing them in order on purpose. I'm playing it because I hear this track used in small parts in Derek's videos. So if you watched Derek's YouTube channel back around the time this came out, or I think even today, I'm not sure, you'll hear these tracks. So yeah, okay. So this is Memoirs of a Gearheart There's no A in there. It's the Decreon album. Go get it from Starship Amazing. It's free. You're listening to Tiger Claw Radio. just got in from work. I'm taking my first look at the summer sale from my home computer. And we have a nice pink and blue theme. The Steam Summer Sale sticker book, June 22nd or July 5th. Huge savings across the entire catalog. Now, I did manage to look at my... Let's see, the time right now is 4:17 p.m., so this has been live for just a few hours now. I don't know... Summer Sale stickers? Complete... it looks like it's the same old achievement thing where it's like all community-based things you have to do. So there's three quests for today. And these quests give me stickers. So visit your personal discovery queue through to the end. View your friend activity page. That's a good one. Review your preferences. So those are my tasks for today. Oh, you have a new sticker pack. Go to the Summer Sales sticker book. Zip zap, zappa da doop. See, I got another one for what is this? Looking at my preferences? There's no way this can be good. Because what I see... Okay, great. That should give me another sticker pack. But it seems like it didn't. This seems to have replaced getting a card... You used to get a free card for going through your queue, and you could get a couple per day. This appears to have replaced that. So, you gotta bear with me, because... Because the cynic in me is kicking in pretty hard right about now. Am I to believe that the cost of the summer badges has gone up? Because there is a 10-card series, and getting that sticker pack certainly didn't unlock a card. That's terrible. I don't even think I have the summer badge from last year. I think last year, I can't remember if it was summer or winter, but at some point last year I just gave up. Because early on in this whole badges thing, it used to be that I really wanted to go down in history as having attended the event, all right? This was at the time when, you know, like when badges first came out, I think it was 2011 was the first summer one. They had the birdhouse, and there were so few badges that you could see the birdhouse in my profile. That was an event that I went to. And you only got it if you showed up at the event, right? And it had some creativity behind it. Now it's just like, buy the badge, and that's all. No thanks, I'd rather buy video games. Especially since I'm looking at my badges section of my profile, and there's 621 badges, and only 150 will show on a page. If I buy this badge, it's not even going to show up in my profile. I'm kind of irritated about that, actually. But that's okay, because this is just window dressing. We're really here for the games. So I have 97 games on my wish list. And let's take a look. Now, the top three are not on sale. Friday the 13th, Trackmania 2, Lagoon are both new games. So I didn't expect them to be on sale. They are not. Then we come to Sin Episodes Emergence, which is a first-person shooter from a while back. Also not on sale. Now, that's a bit of a bummer. One thing I will say, though, is I looked at this list from my phone at like 1:20, almost right after the sales had dropped, and almost nothing appeared as on sale. They kind of one by one were added. Now it's looking okay. This is looking like I'm going to make some purchases. D, the game, is $1.19. I'm going to pick that up. River City Sports Challenge is $4. I'm going to pick that up for sure. You can believe it. Witchbot Maglillo is $2.99. Going to get a copy of that. It looks like there's some decent shmups. Let's see. Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 is $3.39. Might pass on that. Not sure. I'm not going to get it, but RPG Maker MV is $27.99. Racecraft which is an amazing idea, though the implementation doesn't look great. $14.99. I wanted that game to look better than it did. Procedurally generated F1 courses. but it, like in the F1 mainline series. An awesome idea, but based on the reader reviews, it looks like there's not a whole lot to do in the game. Disgaea went down to $7.99, but I hear it's not something you want to buy on Windows 7. Rocket Knight is $2.99. I'm going to get a copy of that. Carmageddon Max Pack is $4.99. I'm going to try to avoid buying that one because that Carmageddon, until recently, was my most played game on GOG Galaxy. I had a few hours in it. Although, this morning I looked and I had passed Carmageddon with Hidden and Dangerous. Hidden and Dangerous reached like 3.5 hours. What else is on here? Interlude is $1.99. That'll be good. I never got Freedom Force versus the Third Reich. That's $2.50. I'm just having a good old time. I haven't even bought a single thing yet. Just looking right now. Let's see, what else? I guess some of the chess games are discounted. A lot of chess games came out really in a really short amount of time. River City Ransom Underground dropped to $9.99. I heard lackluster things about it, but that price point, although, I mean, $10 is not a it's not a giveaway, but I don't know. I could be talked into that. We've got Grandia 2 is not on sale. That's disappointing. Shogo Mobile Armored Division is not on sale. That's disappointing. Super Indie Carts is $5. I might pick that up. It might be a good one to have for MAGFest for local multi. Speaking of local multi, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3 is down to $15. That might be a good one to pick up. I'll think about that one. The F1 series is completely discounted, which is great. The earlier games are super cheap if you don't have them. F1 2010 is $2.50. I've got a couple of those games. I don't have them all, but I enjoyed them. What else? An Independence War Deluxe Edition is $1.49. I'll definitely get that. That's a weird one, because iWar came out on Steam, but I'm looking at my wish list, and it has... The banner says, Alone in the Dark. Pre-order the Eldritch Edition. What? Is that an ad for the banner that's supposed to identify the game? Because that's weird. I would go as far as to say that is silly potatoes. In the fighting game scene, Street Fighter V is discounted, although I don't have it on my wish list because I own it already. I believe the base game dropped down to $20 again. That's what I bought it at. As far as Street Fighter V is concerned, I really advise just look at the characters that are available. Just buy the one you want to main at, because that's a game where you really only play the one. I put more into it than I needed to make my copy, like the party version, so I could take it to MAGFest, and I would be equipped enough for, you know, everybody to be able to play their main character. If I had to do it all over again, I would not do that. So, you know, that's a thing. Let's take a look. I wonder what BlazBlue is going for. I believe the base BlazBlue game, although I have it already, goes down super cheap in these types of sales. Let's take a look. No results were returned. Okay. So it's up and running. I'm amazed how well Steam is working right now, but it's still not working perfectly. Now there were years where it was just like the first day you're not getting in. There's just not going to be Steam for you until that night. Yeah, BlazBlue, however you say it. Calamity Trigger is $1.99, although you're not going to play that online. Let's see, Continuum Shift Extend is $3.99. I mean, those are all good games. All right, guys. You're listening to Tiger Claw Radio.
Yeah. Hey, my name is Calvin.
My name is Derek.
And you're listening to Tiger Claw TV.
Radio.
Great. Right.
No, damn it. You watch TV.
You listen. You can listen to a TV.
Come on now. Should we say what was actually amazing?
Probably.
All right, let's do the fail bag. This is now the following morning. This is Friday morning, so the summer sales have been around almost 24 hours now. I got my first picks. I got a little bit of Sims 3 DLC while it's mega cheap, and I picked up the DLC for Street Fighter Cross Tekken to unlock all characters while that was also very cheap, because my son seemed to dig that game, so, you know, there we go. The only game that I bought thus far, and let me drop down to the category I made for it, is called Battle Fantasia Revised Edition, which is a fighting game. And I really just kind of took a dive on this one. So we'll see. I hope it works out. I know Kaiser has it. It looks pretty sweet. But yeah, okay. I'm game. That has real discount. Let's see. I'm dropped back to the store page because I want to get these numbers right. Coming in at regular price at $15, it's dropped down to $2.99. So yeah, I would risk $2.99 on a fighting game, even a fighting game that I would only play a little bit. I would pay that much for, provided that I enjoyed it. Okay, so we're gonna do the fail bag. I don't really have anything open at the moment, so you guys are gonna have to bear with me. Let's drop back to the old Yahoo box. So I do actually have a traditional email address for Tiger Claw Radio. It's tigerclawradio@yahoo.com, although I don't use it very much. I do keep it open, and I overlooked an email from our very own Sendu, which he mentioned. And he writes, "So you seem quite biased when it comes to consoles versus PC. So I'm going to share why I'm primarily a console gamer. A long story short, stability and convenience. A long story long, let me first tell you a tale. A not much younger me purchased a couple of games that his computer was more than powerful enough to run, but didn't. Not because of lag or unsupported operating systems, but simply because they refused to launch. Also, some games will play perfectly one day, then will stick up their feet, light a smoke, and say, F it, 10 FPS is good enough. And my personal favorite, you can't play this game you already purchased without signing up for our website or installing our company's own wannabe Steam. I'm looking at you, Ubisoft. ROMs do nothing for me. I have no interest in pirating games, and I'm sick to death of researching problems on forums that talk to you like you're an idiot. Did you try restarting your PC? Is that up to date? The same things you would tell the same things that would tell you if they had an update. I have a PS4, a 360, and a bunch of retro systems. I play whenever I can because those games work every time, and they do what I want them to. I have little to no interest in online multiplayer, and I'm aware that current PlayStations, Xboxes are basically just PCs that are PCs that I only need to replace every 5 years instead of one. All that being said, I do respect PC gamers and might invest in an extra powerful machine if I had unlimited income. However, when given the choice, I choose consoles simply because I know the game will work. Now, boss, I have a question for you. What do you describe as a hang on a second. Bear with me, Sendu. I'm going to reread that last line because I want to make sure I'm getting it right. Now, boss, I have a question for you. What do you describe as a convenient way to play games? All right, Sendu. This is a really good email. I see now why you were saying, oh, you chose not to read it. No. I like emails that have conflicting opinions because it gives us something to talk about. I would say that you have some really good points here about consoles and convenience and stuff. It's just not what does it for me. Here's the thing. A console is one thing that you buy, right? And versus a PC being all the parts. So it becomes easier to optimize for a console because the developers know, I know exactly what kind of graphics hardware the user is going to have. I know exactly what kind of processor the user is going to have. So a software developed for that console is going to be different from software developed for the computer, hopefully. So that is a good point of why you would like consoles better. PCs, just to me, it dealing with the extra configuration and the extra problems is worth it for an open architecture. I want the openness, and I'm willing to do the extra work. If you're not, I completely understand. That doesn't mean I'm not going to rag on you a little bit, because that's what we PC gamers do. And as far as being biased, yeah, I would say that's a fair statement. Because these days, I have a lot of fun. Like, when I sit down to play games, and it's a good time, it usually ends up being on a PC. Not always, but usually. I think there's also something to say about the console manufacturers making some severe anti-consumer practices. All right, so this is nothing to say about the games that come out for consoles, and it's nothing to say about the people who play them, but the people who make them objectively take advantage of their users, more so than any PC company could. All right, so that's another thing. Yeah, I mean, I try to look at this as objectively as possible, but you do have a point. There is a bias there. I don't know. I like PC games. What are you going to do? If you said you have a PS4 and a 360, I hope you're having a great time with them. I sincerely do. My PS3 doesn't get play because I can't play a bunch of violent games in my family room around my children. That's the reason my PS3 doesn't get play is not because of PC Master Race. It's because it's more of a wise investment for me to get a digital game on the PC that I can play when my children are not around, and that I know my children can't lose and break. So that's a situational thing. If that weren't an issue, I would dig more into the PS3. I think at this point, the PS3 is probably the last great console because they still allowed internet usage for free. If you're not into online multiplayer, I don't know, man. I don't know. It just seems like even if you're not into online multiplayer, one day you're going to run into a problem that, yeah, if I was allowed to use internet for free, then I would have access to this. Because I remember playing Xbox 360 with a Silver account, and I remember there just being things that were behind the paywall. For a long time on Xbox 360, Netflix was behind a paywall. Are you kidding me? Netflix! Netflix is something you have to pay for separately on top of your ISP already. So if you're watching Netflix on an Xbox 360 circa 2010 or 2011, you were paying for it three times! I think they've fixed that since then, but that's the kind of anti-consumer practices I'm talking about. Also, as far as ROMs go, my only interest in ROMs these days are A, ROM hacks. I think, I don't want to use the word amateur, but programmers who exist outside the Nintendo corporate architecture are doing some amazing things. For one, also I use ROMs as a way to combat, not just Nintendo, but large video game companies trying to charge me many times over for the same game. All right. So I bought a bunch of Nintendo games. Then I bought a Wii and I bought some Nintendo games, some of the same Nintendo games for that. And eventually I'm going to get a Switch for my son and they're going to want me to buy those same Nintendo games again for that. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. that's where ROMs step in for me. Now, the last time I downloaded a ROM was just before the statute of limitations. So it has been X number of years where X equals the statute of limitations for downloading ROMs since I've downloaded a ROM. That was the last time I did it. But I don't know. It served me very well. And having purchased ROMs from the Wii store, the experience was comparable. I didn't get anything from the Wii that I wouldn't get on my own, building a Raspberry Pi setup. Which, by the way, a Raspberry Pi setup, not expensive. When I hear the Raspberry Pi price point dropped by people who don't use it, it's not that expensive. It's not $100 to get a Raspberry Pi setup. It is not. I'm sorry. $50. You could do it. but I understand if you don't... staying away from ROMs, I would say, is a virtue. I would say it's an admirable virtue. So keep it up. If you have drawn a moral line in the sand and you're not going to go out and download a ROM, no matter how many times they want to charge you for it, then good for you. I would say that's to be admired. You're going to miss out on some good homebrew games, gotta say, but God bless and keep doing what you're doing, Sandu. You certainly, as a human being, have my respect. Thanks for writing in. And to the rest of you guys, if you've got a conflicting opinion, please bring it, all right? Please bring the business, and I'll shoot you down like the dog you are. All right, let's head over to Gmail. early this morning, I checked my email, and I got one from Hemrock. I want to see what he's got to say. Let's see, some stuff from the next round. Okay. Hemrock, failbag. My boy Hemrock, let's see what you got, man. Hey CF, thanks for keeping up with TCR. I know that pushing out a podcast weekly can be a tough gig, but you're doing a great job. I love the talk about Starship Amazing. They were truly amazing. I really dig Speed City Kitty that you played last episode. That tune is on my favorite album of theirs, Scoops the Robot. What's your favorite Starship Amazing album? I've enjoyed the Small Cup of Linux on last week's episode. How is LXLE working out for you? Did you have the same problems on Linux Mint? Did your Linux Mint have a slow boot up time? I'm using Linux Mint 18 and it takes a while for it to boot up. I dual boot Windows 10 and I want to say that Windows boots about twice as fast on the same hardware. I'm excited to hear about the upcoming MonsterCast. Do you have anything recorded for it? Do you have anything lined up? So a little bit more about Elements. I played a few matches today while listening to TCR. It is a little different from Magic the Gathering. There are 12 different colors as well as a few colorless cards. And your opponent can start with 100 HP each. Health may vary by difficulty. Not sure. There are mana cards for each of the colors. And you use mana to cast monsters. The monster cards attack HP directly. However, some of the monsters may be able to attack other creatures. There are 6 different levels of difficulty. You gain gold coins for each match you win. Obviously, the more difficult matches, the more you win. However, it also costs gold to participate in the tougher battles. You can use the money you earn in the game to buy cards. You can also challenge your friends or try to find a random person to play. It's probably one of my favorite freeware games I've ever had the chance to try. The best part is there's no monetary transactions. I've been hearing about the Cartridge Club. I need to check them out. What did you pick up in the GOG sales? There were some good deals. It was probably one of the best GOG sales that I've taken part in. I hope your vacation is going well or went well. Keep rolling retro. Hemrock. Hemrock! Saving the fail bag every time. Let's start at the top. Starship Amazing. Speed City Kitty. Oh my gosh, that is a great song. Derek actually sent me, when they were working on that album, Derek emailed me a copy of that track. It was slightly different. I can't remember how, but I swear I have it put away on a hard drive. They were definitely guys that slowly over time, just ever so slightly, would tweak tracks. On their earlier albums, they had I've said this many times about them. They used to run a blog, and on that blog, as they worked on tracks, they would play alternate versions. That's how Gearheart and Scoops the Robot started. That when they first announced that, over time, you could follow their blog. This is a track we're working on. Here's an early version, and it would be like an embed only. But of course, at that point, we already had Download Helper on Mozilla Firefox, so I saved everything that they ever put up on that website. Unfortunately, I didn't save the context, like the articles that they wrote about the tracks. But so anyway, I'm sliding off track. they would have, I think there was one example of one of the tracks on I can't remember which album it was, but it was one of the earlier ones, probably Ultramodern Rhythms, where they put up four versions of the same track. And I remember listening to them all, and they were like, these all sound exactly the same to me. Because they were tweaking them in very subtle ways. They were as simple as some of the melodies are on their earlier albums. They really had an attention to detail in post, which I appreciated, and it served them very well in their later days. So Speed City Kitty, the only thing that bothers me about those demo tracks is since they were never released on an album, I don't think they were ever officially released into the Creative Commons. So I don't think I can play them unless I contacted the guys and got permission. I don't think they'd give it to me personally, because they've opted to kind of move on from those days, and I'm kind of holding on to them. So I'm afraid I'm kind of violating their wishes, just because the music they produced during that time was so hugely influential to me personally. But yeah, they were good. They were very, very good. So the small cup of Linux on last week's episode. I ran into a problem with LXLE. It did, in fact, continue doing the same thing that Mint was doing, where my internet would drop. I don't know why it wasn't doing it the first time, but it was really upsetting. I like it. I like it. It feels more Linux-y than Linux Mint does. Linux Mint, at least Linux Mint Cinnamon, is definitely one of those distros that's made for Windows users or former Windows users. But not LXLE. LXLE is built on Arch, apparently. And it has kind of an Arch feel to it, where it has no problem using, like when you click on, in the upper right-hand corner, there's some live monitors, CPU performance and RAM usage, and you can see like a needle, almost like a heart monitor. And you click on it to expand the application, and what you get is like a console app where everything is written in ASCII art, which I dig, man. It's very core Linux-y. I've made it a point to try and stay away from Arch specifically, because Arch has the most toxic community that let's put it this way. Arch has a pretty toxic community. If you hear somebody talking about the Linux community being bad, they're talking about the Arch community. Arch forums are very widely used. They're huge forums. But as a general rule, and I'm being overly simplistic here, but the people who use the Arch forums, they do not want you there. They discourage people from going there and asking questions. There is a box in the forums sign up where you have to take a hashing algorithm, like, and basically it says, take this line and put it into your console, your terminal, and paste the output here. And what they're giving you is something that's going to produce a very specific combination, but only in Arch. So essentially, you can't sign up for the forums unless you are running Arch. They don't want you there asking questions. They discourage, you know, I've read articles on this, and basically what they say is it's because the forums are made from programmers, and they just want to talk about a higher level of programming. But some of the stuff I've read on their forums are inexcusable. The moderator's topic about, like, the read, you know how every forum has a read this first. Their read this first has a link to an article about something that they call help vampires, which is basically just people going to forums and asking for help. And they discourage their users from helping first-time users. Like, you know how forums, you'll see a certain amount of people who sign up for a forum, just post one or two times so that they can ask a question and they move on with their lives. They don't want you to do that. And the article that I read basically said that they feel like it's very draining for their community to do that. And they said, these quote-unquote help vampires, which, by the way, does not exist, they said that they're mostly men. And I get a real anti-straight white man vibe from reading the pinned forum topics. So I feel like it's a very... I don't like to get into politics, but I feel like they don't want me there. So I was going to use other things. So I was a little bit iffy when I found out that that it was based on Arch, but Arch is the clean slate distro. So there are great things that have been built on it. There's nothing wrong with using Arch. It's just, if you're going to use Arch, you best to believe you're going to be on your own. But I should say that all of the stuff, or excuse me, not all of the stuff, but RetroPie for the Raspberry Pi, that's built on Arch. Not all of the operating systems are. As a matter of fact, I think the prominent ones are built off of Debian and Ubuntu. Raspbian is basically Raspberry Pi's version of Debian, and then Ubuntu has its own Debian distro. So yeah, but most of what I used over there was RetroPie, which is definitely built on Arch. I don't know. So how is it going with LXLE? My brother's computer stopped working, and he took it to a shop and found out that his power source had died. So I took my secondary computer, which was running LXLE, and I ripped the power source out, put it in my older brother's computer, tried to fire it up, still got nothing. So something else is broken in his computer. I don't know what. I suspect the motherboard is fried, and as far as the processor is concerned, maybe the processor is fried as well. But I want to do a little bit more reading before I tell him to buy X part and Y part. As for LXLE, basically what I'm telling you is that computer is ripped open and the power source is taken out. I haven't put it back together yet. I like LXLE. It's, if I can settle in and I can fix the internet issues, I would use it. As far as boot times and Linux Mint, that computer uses a mechanical hard drive, and it uses an aged mechanical hard drive. I can hear it when it spins. It's not going to last forever. So yeah, it's got a bit of a lengthy boot time, but I think that also occurred in Mint, and I think it's just the way that computer is built. It's the parts I used. I never really had a problem with it. My main computer dual boots Mint and Windows 7. Mint boots a heck of a lot faster than Windows 7, but Windows 7 has always been terrible when it comes to boot time. Hey man, you're using what, Windows 10? Windows 10 does a good job from what I hear in terms of booting up. Apart from its privacy invasion issues, it's supposed to be a really good operating system. So there's that. I mean, I don't know. My older brother has a solid state drive. What did he tell me? He mentioned his boot sequence being, I don't know, 6 or 7 seconds or something to boot up into the operating system. He gave me a specific time that was super, super fast. I never prioritized boot times. Because I like to turn my computer on and then I go get coffee while it's doing its thing. That's what I do. So boot time never really mattered to me. But yeah. To answer your question, it does take a long time. What else did you ask? You've been hearing about the Cartridge Club. Go check out the Cartridge Club, guys. They're really awesome dudes. And they have the people who populate their community are awesome as well. Those are your kind of people, dude. They're adults. They're kind in their core, you know? They're the kind of people that you can come out of the blue not knowing them and just say hello, and that's it. That's all you need to do. Then you're in the club. You're one of them. That's what I like about the Cartridge Club guys. Just because they're that kind of open to everyone. They're definitely more console oriented than I am. But yeah, wonderful people. Cartridge Club. I would highly recommend it. At least drop by their website and find something that they've put out. Whether you dig their content or not, I'll leave it entirely up to you. But as human beings, I think they're right up your alley. Vacation starts in a few weeks. I think I'm like 29 days from today away from vacation. So I'll have to rig something up to play during that time. I think that's everything. Man, I really went through this a little bit at a time. I really, really chugged through that email. So got a lot of mileage out of it. So thanks for writing it. Wow, we are an hour and 12 minutes in. Oh my gosh, and I haven't even gotten to the YouTube comments yet. Ha ha! Because YouTube was down last week, wasn't it? Let's head over there. What are we? Yeah, I still got some time. I got about 10 more minutes before I have to stop recording for now. All right. So you open up YouTube. I got that's right. You get all the YouTube navigation action that you can handle. We'll go to the E3 episode, and then we'll drop back to the one before it afterwards. Let's see. Death Adder writes, I played Assassin's Creed 1 and it was bored to tears. Then I played Assassin's Creed Black Flag because pirates, and I encountered a game-breaking glitch that has never been patched. I've heard that there are two or three decent ones out of the probably 10 that exist now. Time signature, 7 minutes and 59 seconds. Collars will be popped. Lol. Next E3 gaming, I'm wearing three polo... Yeah, excuse me. Next E3, I'm wearing three polos at once just to pop collars every time I get pumped for a game. And talking about Nintendo breaking hearts, Critical Failure is busting out the hammer of truth in this episode. Nintendo does it. Their games, their mainline series looks, you know, they got something going there. But man, I don't know. I look at those games and I'm like, man, those are going to be great to play in 5 years when I finally get around to playing them. So, you know, that's Nintendo. As far as Assassin's Creed, yeah, I think we've gone over Assassin's Creed ad nauseum at this point. Light Studios writes, hey boss, I appreciate what you did, but I was actually referring to the email sent to your Yahoo. I don't normally send long comments, but I was looking forward to reaction. I'm not upset, but I'm wondering if you check it often. Have you considered setting up a redirect system with your emails? I have three more email addresses that all auto-redirect to me. If you like, I can set that up. Send you now. I appreciate the offer. I know what you're talking about. Here's what I'm going to do instead. I need to switch to an email client like Thunderbird Mail or Outlook, though I don't want to use Outlook, because you can set up however many email addresses, and then you'll get alerts for all of them. I need to stop using web-based email. I don't like... now that I'm forced to use Outlook at work, I like using an email client. I just don't have one set up at this time. I had one set up on the last iteration of Linux Mint on this computer, but that has been wiped at this point. That's what I need to do, because then in my day-to-day, I'll then get alerts when things get submitted to that email address. I don't check it as much as I should. So there's that. Retro Kaiser writes, I've always wanted to see Sendu return to podcasting for a while now. Light Studios responds with, Kaiser, that may happen if all goes according to plan. You said it, Scoops, from Kaiser. Mr. Bass Boost writes, brilliant work, keep it up. Although I think that's just a bot saying that. I'll take it, because why not? okay, so that was the last episode. Let's go back to episode 188. That's the one where just at that particular moment, YouTube comments, YouTube shut down. I couldn't get in. Death Adder writes, don't think your PS4 watchdog comment went unnoticed, Mr. Swingle. So here is my best FCC-approved response. Eat poop, you poopy poop, poop-headed mother pooper. I'm going to poop in your poop and then make you re-poop said poop. I did a little extra soul-searching on Friday the 13th. Also, I did a little extra soul-searching on Friday the 13th. It looks like poop. Yeah, I'm going to pass on that game. They need to deliver more content for what they're charging. Alex Swingle writes, at minute 20, there's only one problem. You'll have to abandon the top 10 series when you reach the top 3 spot for G and DB's sake. At minute 24, anybody can shout at a recorder for 6 hours. I'm saying the retro roundup is not my favorite. The dinosaur pie is worth listening to in that pile of sounds. At minute 27, the triggering. I too lost some physical licenses due to crazy parents. Not my own parents, but a friend who borrowed Star Ocean Second Story. Got those discs smashed with a hammer. The part was equally impressive is the husband of the said insane person did the honor of paying for the cost of what I bought the game for. 3 years later, it was valued at $120. The cost went down recently, but damn. I too remembered when GameStop was cool. Them's were a good 3 years. At minute 34, in regards to the price of games adjusted for inflation, thank you for understanding the concept of supply and demand, where your supply is currency, and their supply is effort poured into a plastic disc. At minute 37, by the way, GTA 2 is not free anymore as well. They put out the early ones into a bundle with GTA 3 and called it the GTA Collection or some nonsense. I blame the craze of reselling old games with no fixes for a quick buck. At minute 41, nah, you just a scrub lord with FPS. I didn't die too often in 13. Get good, mate. You know what? I would take that comment from you, but not anyone else. And the reason is because I played Doom online with you. I know how you play FPSs, and you're pretty brutal as an opponent in Doom online. So, you know, what are you going to do? As far as GTA 2 not being free anymore, I'm not too surprised about that one. The GTA Classic series, when those were free, you had to put so much information into their registration form to actually get the games. I think they were making more money from selling your information than you would have paid them. Because I think they wanted like your social security number or something incredibly invasive. So invasive that I didn't download them that way. As a matter of fact, I'm going to look it up right now. But a long time ago, there was a pack very much like you're describing. Let's see. Grand Theft Auto. There was a pack much like you're describing on Steam. It was like the Classics Collection or something. And then they removed it. And I'm hoping it's back now. Save, open four. Eh. Yeah, if you look up Grand Theft Auto, you can still see the first one, but I don't see it available in any pack. So it's one of those games I think I have in my collection that you just can't get anymore. Grand Theft Auto 4 Complete Edition. Yeah, open 4 went down. Grand Theft Auto is fighting mods. So if you like Grand Theft Auto and you like mods, then you're in for a tough time because Rockstar apparently doesn't like you. But yeah, okay, that's all right. I haven't played much Grand Theft Auto in a very, very long time, so I think I can live with that. Grand Theft Auto 5 is $29.99. It's the lowest I've seen it. I probably am not going to buy it. You know what is cheap, though? Doom! The new Doom game that came out is down to $15, the lowest it's ever been. So you best to believe I'm getting a copy of that. Grand Theft Auto is a game that exists. Good luck getting a copy of it. Thanks for your comments, Broski, Swingle, and Death Adder. Always nice to hear from you guys. Let's do this. I know Sean did a bunch of comments on even older episodes, but we are running super long. How long is this now? 1 hour and 21 minutes. I'm going to jump back one episode, and we'll see if there's anything else. Let's see. Tiger Claw Radio. Oh, well. I think that might be the best I can do. I don't even see. Yeah, they're all out of order. Oh, well. All right. Sean, help me out. When you're listening to this, tell me what I'm missing, okay? Okay, guys. This is Critical Failure for Tiger Claw Radio. Let's see. If you've made it in... If you stuck with me for 1 hour and 21 minutes and 55 seconds, I just want to take the time to say thank you very much. Wherever you're coming from, whatever it is you're doing in your life, I'm really just rooting for you as hard as I can over here. Wishing you all the best in the world. Keep getting out of bed in the morning. Keep doing what you gotta do. Don't give up, especially if you're having a tough time. Especially then. I will see you guys next Monday. Make it a good week. I'm gonna have to play with the format. These are getting too long. You know, the longest I've ever gone on a regular series episode of Tiger Claw Radio is 1 hour and 31 minutes. And I think immediately after that, this is speculation, I'd have to go back and look at when these came out, but I think immediately after that I went into hiatus, probably because it just took too long to produce. But this is a special episode because of the Steam Summer Sales. I already closed the show. We're going to call that it.